Hello and welcome to the first Altsource Games podcast. I am your host along with all these other fellows here today. My name is Griffin Hoffman, and we'll just familiarize you with our voices briefly, and then we'll get into introductions.
I am Mike Keyes. You can probably refer to me as Keyes, since there's two mics on the show. I'm a pharmacy major here at Drake, and I guess my claim to fame in this group would be I'm kind of the avid WoW player, but I'm sure we'll get more into that later.
Hi, I'm Matt Lake. I'm a history major here at Drake also. And I don't think I really have a claim to fame in this group, but seems like I've been playing video games my entire life, so I don't know. Just kind of have a lot of experience with it. So.
My name's Mike Gartner. I am a psychology major at Drake University. Also, like pretty much everybody else in this group, I've been playing games since I first stumbled across a Nintendo.
You also have a very sonorous, resounding, sexy voice.
I do. I have a good radio voice, I think, which is working out for
me. Drop like an octave too when you start talking.
I know. I get self-conscious.
Hi, I'm Phil Zelenek. I've been playing games for ever, as far as
That's
I can remember.
Possible.
And I don't know. I don't really have a claim to fame. First-person shooters, RPGs, and RTSs. They're all very good.
My name's Griff. You see me most of the time. To our vast listener and reader pool out there, I'm posting quite often on Altsource. I'm bio major at Drake. We're all Drake students, so I guess this could be also the first unofficial Drake University video games podcast. Maybe even the first student podcast. Who knows? I listen to a lot of podcasts. Pretty much anything by 1UP. 1UP Yours, Retronauts, 1UP FM, anything they got. I listened to Capcom's Top Secret Bionic Commando podcast and Insomniac Games' Full Moon Show. So I'm only structuring this like they do theirs because it works well. I like their structure. I don't intend to infringe any copyrights or anything like that. I don't think we really need to worry about that anyway. The reason I'm aping it is just because I appreciate how it works.
We're going to get sued.
We are.
It's intellectual
this
property.
First and last episode right here. We will come back after the break and get into what you've been playing this week. All right, cool. We're back, and it looks like we're recording correctly. This is the first one again, so we're just trying to get all the bugs worked out and, you know, get over our nerves. So everybody's kind of tense.
I'm perspiring, but
it's also because we're huddled in like a man circle, like Cro-Magnon crouched over the microphone in my living room. And the people who are looking in through the window, I bet, think this is hilarious to see. But yeah, we're going to be going into what you've been playing now, so everybody can just talk briefly about what they've been playing this week.
It's Keys here, and I've pretty much been playing WoW. It's kind of what I do, but it's kind of been cooled down since, you know, release of the expansion coming out, Wrath of the Lich King, November 13th. So, you know, the community in WoW is kind of just dimmed down.
Do you
down.
Have anything special prepared for that day? Do you have, like, a cake or something in the shape of like the log in, like the gate or something? Like, oh, the shape of Northrend. How about that?
I've actually, my boss I work with and a couple of my fraternity brothers, we're gonna, if there's a midnight sale, we're gonna hit that up and,
nice.
You know, I'd only have two classes on Thursday and, you know.
You haven't missed anything so far, so.
So, yeah.
Stocking up.
I figure I can miss a few days and, you know, go at the expansion pretty hard and see how far I can get it, but like I said, nothing's really been going on in a while. We're just kind of sitting around, you know, not doing anything. So I have been experimenting with some Bionic Commando Rearmed, thanks to Griff's advice, and going back and playing some Orange Box, a little Team Fortress 2, and enjoying that. So
you still playing Demo Man all the time, or are you branching out?
I'm branching out. I'm on a spy fix lately.
Oh.
There's nothing more satisfying than watching a heavy run all the way across the map and then you backstab him. As I've experienced that myself, it's excruciating.
Experience.
It's very, yes, thank you. It's very frustrating.
I didn't know you ever played heavies. So I thought that was
well,
not
since
your style.
I mean Demoman,
a little bit too much patience involved in that.
I've played Demoman so much that I've started to branch out, and heavy has its uses, but not my style. Exactly.
I will say that I have never seen anybody play a heavy quite like you, Mike. I mean, Demoman. Like,
oh, Demoman?
You really
yeah.
pioneered the Demoman, I feel.
I know. I don't know what it was. It just kind of came naturally. So I have a lot of fun with it and do pretty well. But other than that, school and video games, that's about it.
Okay, it's Matt here. Recently, I've been playing Rock Band, which is kind of weird, considering I broke Phil's pedal.
Wait,
Are you playing
Rock Band 1 or 2?
1. Oh. Yeah, it's a little late for that, but I would play the drums. Of course, I broke the pedal, stopped to get him a pedal. But in replace of that, I've just been playing the guitar a little bit, just because of out of boredom. Mostly the boredom's coming from Elder Scrolls 4, the Shivering Isles expansion.
Just let it go.
I have to beat it. Why would I give up a game I put so many hours into? It's more of a chore now. It's not even fun. It's just recycled material day in and day out. And it's just go to this point, kill this person, then return and get your loot. And I just can't wait for it to end. And then
feeling the love for Elder Scrolls. Wow.
That's exactly how I remember Oblivion when I first got it. I played it religiously for about a month. And then I started one day, and I was just like, no, this isn't fun, and I haven't touched it since.
Yeah, I remember when I first played it, I was like, oh, this is awesome, nothing can get better, and then
you have
2 months later,
this stroke of enlightenment when you're like, wait a minute, why am I doing this? This is so boring.
Yeah, I'll be happy to be over with it, and I can go move on to another game.
Isn't that weird when you feel like you're playing a game and it feels like a job? Like, isn't that such a strange feeling?
It's kind of a depressing feeling, actually, to think I actually put so many hours in like this game that it's just like, wow, I'm just obsessed with it, and now I just went overboard on it.
So now you're grunging out on Rock Band, huh?
Oh yeah, so that's
big swing on that.
I still need a new pedal, by the way.
We'll go shop.
Alright, this is Mike, and I have been playing a lot of Spore this week, which is kind of weird for me. I don't usually play a lot of creators or
PC games even
for that matter. Yeah, I mostly stick to my PS3, but Griff talked to me about Spore, and I got into the creator a little bit, and then I went out and snatched it, and I got really into it. It's just surprising about how many things you can really do. It's not just a straight creator.
Do you have a favorite like section of it so far? Is there one you
section.
Like the most? A stage?
I'm liking space a lot so far. I know it's the last one, and there's the most to do, but well, for that reason that I like it, there's so many different things that you can do, trading or conquering or making friends with people, different species that you come across.
I know one thing that I found was when I was playing in the civilization stage, there was just sort of this explosion that happens in terms of the creator. Like, you're given the ability to make so many things, and it's a little overwhelming. Whereas in tribes, you can just change your clothes.
Yeah.
And then into civilization, you have to make the town hall. You have to make
the
houses, housing,
and entertainment. Yeah.
Yeah. All like the districts or whatever you'd wanna the buildings and then you have to make your boats and your land vehicles and your planes. And it was a little overwhelming. I kind of didn't want to do like I just kind of fudged out. I just more or less made some junk as the additional stuff. I didn't really try too hard on the buildings. Did you ever feel like that?
Yeah, I definitely abandoned the buildings and just copied some of the Maxis designs because not much of a creator, not very creative. I didn't even name my own species. I just used the random name generator. So,
creative for a creation game.
Yeah, I know. It's really not my style at all. I'm more of I play a lot of Metal Gear. That's the other game I've been playing was Metal Gear Solid, the original one, just because I finished 4. A while ago, and I got all nostalgic.
Mm-hmm. Wanted to reminisce on the good times.
Oh yeah, I look back at all those fantastic graphics.
The pixelated snake and his cigarettes.
Did you ever play Twin Snakes, the GameCube remake?
I did not. I didn't have a GameCube long enough. So.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier this week, I think.
Yeah, I think we were. Yeah.
About I don't know. Did you finish it? You said.
Yeah.
I didn't really feel like it broke the game like people complain. Like just because you can use first person. And shoot Revolver Ocelot really easily in the first battle. I still think it was really fun to play. And I don't know, Snake was slightly more He was more powerful, it seemed, in the cutscenes. Like, he didn't seem as awkward as the game would have in the original one.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of needed that, because going in from 1 to 2, where he's kind of a badass, and then 4, where, you know, he just all of a sudden knows CQC and all this stuff, I feel like they did kind of a good job. Silicon Knights did kind of a good job putting those clips together.
Excuse me.
Hi, it's Phil. Keys unfortunately got me hooked to WoW a couple months ago, and I've been playing
one month ago.
And I've been in a ever hurried pace to get to level 70 and 60 so that I can try
61st actually.
Try the Burning
Crusades. That's 70.
Yeah, try the Burning Crusades before the new expansion comes out. I've been playing that. I've been playing a little Rock Band over there with Matt, because he's strumming on the guitar, and I'm like, all right, I'll play bass with you.
You mean he's diddling the guitar? You don't
yeah.
strum that thing.
Well, whatever you call
yeah.
you do that.
Flick the little, like, diddle
the
pad
lever.
On it. Yeah, it's far from actually playing
you,
guitar.
You hate so hard on that game. It's unreal.
I've played it, though. And I,
yeah, I watched you play that game.
Well,
yeah,
I was
in the track
I was really
about
that
a minute
this.
Into it because you couldn't pull
I
it off.
I like the Rock Band guitar much more so than the Guitar Hero guitar, too. Because you actually, like, there's, like, gigantic Play School buttons on that thing that just feel weird.
Oh,
and
yeah,
the Rock Band
Hero,
guitar
yeah.
is actually set into frets, and
mm-hmm.
it feels more like a real guitar.
I agree with you on that.
100%.
Get a Rock Band guitar.
I do have a Rock Band guitar. I just have it put away in the closet because the Guitar Hero controllers work, so...
And
know.
Phil hates the Guitar Hero. Oh, not the
well,
guitar
I used
Hero,
to hate
the
Guitar
Rock
Hero,
band.
Yeah. But now I've, you know, switched over. But I'm looking forward to getting the new Guitar Hero 2. Lots of new songs. A lot of songs
on Rock
there.
Band 2.
You're
going
to get
Rock
Band
2.
Yeah.
My bad. Rock Band 2. Sorry about that.
So many people out there confused right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everybody.
Sorry, internet.
Yeah, the one or two you know fans we have.
We are the fan base.
I am not responsible for any of your grades or your rapid WoW playing, though, Phil. Just so you know,
I'm holding you fully responsible. You're like, oh, we gotta get WoW. We can all play.
I'm like the
yeah.
drug dealer standing outside the rehab center. Here you go. Let's get started. Let's do this.
As soon as I give Phil enough crap about the game, then Mike comes up and is like, hey, I'll run you through today or something. You want to run you through an instance? You want to level together?
Hey, you have to admit, the triple experience from the
oh,
refer a friend
yeah.
is pretty
yeah.
ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, Phil's 56 in a month. That's pretty impressive, seeing as how it took me, I think, 3 months to get to 70. So, and at his pace, he's
yeah.
much... much farther ahead than I was at this point, anyway.
We should play a little later tonight and gain a couple more levels, you know?
Oh, we'll have to see. I don't know.
He's only got 4 more levels to use that triple experience,
that's
so.
True.
Oh, that's
and then
true.
He's going
yeah.
to get the bitter taste of true WoW.
Yeah,
oh.
then you can grind it out like me and my sorry ass stuck behind. Yeah. I am, along with the WoW playing herd, thanks to Keys. I played a while ago, and he got me back into it again once I found out that he was so ridiculously involved with it. And we all kind of joined up, but I missed my refer-a-friend offer, and I have been horribly bitter and pissed off ever since.
I don't see why you two didn't
yeah.
refer each other. That would have made so much more sense.
Yeah, well, hindsight's 20/20, Griff.
I guess.
Things are rubbing it in my face.
We weren't particularly complicated. I mean,
you know, well, where were you then, idea guy?
I'm
a month into it, now you got this idea.
My own shitty account activated.
we were in
so
our WoW comatose.
Yeah, that is true. We were all pretty.
Yeah, the blinders
in.
Were on, and you just kind of.
Wow, it's WoW.
Yeah.
It's WoW. We got to play WoW.
Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate. Is that
we just need to get Matt to play WoW now. We
oh,
got everybody.
It's gonna happen.
I'm done for a while. I'm not gonna play until the.
Oh, come on, well, hey, if all five of us play, we don't even have to look for groups
yeah.
anymore.
That's true.
There we go.
That's true. Yeah. Would we all start new characters with Matt?
That would work.
Yeah.
We could all be
sure.
busted faced, busted faced female dwarves as we help
oh,
level
yes.
Matt up.
That'd be terrible.
That'd be really funny.
I'll bring everyone to the dark side.
You're
we'll
talking
play
about
WoW together.
Yeah, that's good.
I've been there and back several times.
He's out selling again.
Mm-hmm. He's dealing. This is the school zone, Keys.
I guess I'll go now, and this week I've been playing quite a few games, as usual. I've just bought Wipeout HD, which came out Thursday on the PSN, It's exactly the same thing as Wipeout on, I think, was it Pure or Pulse or something like that on the play or the PSP. And Mike and I were playing it with the 6X controls, and Mike's much better at it than I am, but I'm really, really enjoying it so far. I don't particularly enjoy racing games, but it's a game that I can just kind of boot up and have a lot of fun playing every once in a while.
As far as a racing game go, it's a nice change. I mean, because it has the weapons in there,
yeah,
similar to, you know, like Mario Kart and something like that,
but they're balanced,
yeah,
really well.
You'd mentioned that to me before, and no, it's nice. It definitely takes some getting used to it. I think you have to kind of get it geared toward this, not geared towards actual racing, where you don't have to overcorrect your ship and things like that. So it does definitely take some getting used to, but it's very fast-paced.
I think it's also on amateur controls right now, so it'll automatically level you out. It'll automatically kind of put you back into a straight position, and it won't let you scrape along walls too bad. So that, I mean...
That's why it was so good, huh?
Yeah, we haven't really dipped into the true Wipeout HD experience, but it's been really fun for the, like, hour that we played. Also, I played the Mega Man 9 demo, which is out. There's a corresponding Mega Man 9 full game that's from any console you can get it on.
Okay there?
Yeah, well, I was expelling some gas.
For a second.
No, I'm good. Thinking of Mega Man 9 does kind of make me want to throw up, though. I mean, I loved playing Mega Man 9 back in NES days, and it was good. It was very nostalgic to turn it on, watch the little opening cutscene with all the pixelated 2D graphics, and the art was really, really cool in it, and the box art's hilarious with Mega Man holding the gun. But when I played the actual game, it made me remember why I never, you know, it just reaffirmed how terrible at video games I am, because it was ugly. Like, I played through one, continue, and then quit, and was like, I've had enough of this game. It was a good I think there's going to be a lot of people who... Well, now that the demo's out, there's going to be less people who buy the game and get really frustrated, but there's going to be a lot of people who do what I did and boot it up and just get that little bit of nostalgia and is like, oh, Mega Man was great. I know. I really enjoyed the X's, but I don't like 9 at all. It's way too hard. It's unforgiving. Mike played it, too.
Yes, the Mega Man 9 demo I played on Griff's console was my first experience with Mega Man, and will also be my last.
Watching you try and select the stage was pretty hilarious.
I thought it was a character selection screen. I see two people's faces. I'm like, I want to be Mega Man. I did not know I was supposed to select the boss I was going to fight. But no, yes, the flying owls dropping coconuts at me.
Yeah,
That did it.
Yeah,
I had enough.
There's too many patterns. Too much patience required for that game.
Oh, come on, guys. I played most of the Mega Man franchise, to be entirely honest. And I was a little jealous that I was not
offered a chance.
Mega Man
Soccer, or whatever the hell that game was?
I think I actually did try Mega Man Soccer. I was a little bit of a fanboy with that rental.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you ever play the 1-for-64 Mega Man Legends?
No, I didn't. I didn't even know that was
a
Mega Man
Legends. I hear
that
one's really good.
I played a PlayStation one, I think. They have a PlayStation version of Mega Man Legends?
They did.
I think it ported over there.
I think I played maybe that.
Did you play, Mike?
I lied. I guess I have played the Mega Mans. I played the 3D Mega Man. None of this side-scrolling 2D witchcraft nonsense.
Side-scrolling is where it is at.
But the Legend was very good when I was 7. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Cumbersome stage selects.
Yes, it was very... very RPG-esque, so I could follow it very well,
okay.
As opposed to side-scrolling and owls coming from nowhere.
You can play 9 when we're done with this, if you like, Mike.
Good. I'd like to remember the frustration and the failures of my youth.
We'll watch as you...
I would like to see the demo to the end.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to see Concrete Man for once. It would be very interesting.
I don't think I ever actually made it to a boss as a child.
Oh, yeah.
I just would switch stages after I failed miserably every time.
Yeah. I know one of my friends, we were playing it, and they had... Actually, this is would be a good segue into the last section that we're going to do today, which is just sort of an off-topic stuff. But I remember he had a code that beat all the bosses, except for one. So then you had all the power-ups, and we'd go after that one boss and fail miserably in our awkward... six-year-old button mashing style.
Was that the old Game Genies?
No, Game Genies. It was the codes that you would type in with the games,
Contra.
Yeah. Oh, no, not like the Contra code, but Mega Man has a way that if you want to continue a game, there's no save function.
Yeah.
You just get this ridiculously long
passcode
and
yeah.
like the most terrible idea ever, where you have to remember this litany of random numbers and letters.
I always enjoyed the games, too, that gave you only a certain amount of time to write it down. As you're fumbling for a pen that will write near you. It's like a game within a game. It's like, quick, write down the passcode before it goes away.
Yep. Well, you would think
do this all over again.
All the random things, like... All the possibilities. You're slightly more limited when you're using real words, but couldn't they just use real words so you don't have to remember like XL44PPO? You could remember like 8 words that form a really goofy sentence or something.
Yeah.
Well, then you can just pass on your goofy words to a friend.
You can pass your passcode
to
a friend too.
Well, I thought they were randomly generated. Maybe I'm just used to technology.
I don't think Nintendo had that technology.
Realizing, I forgot I was in the 90s for a second.
Yeah, I doubt it would be specific to the cartridge.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. I also played Uncharted this week, and there are trophies for it, and there's a lot of trophies for it. I loved it when it came out, and I was talking to Mike about this earlier this week. And watching that game fluctuate in price is hilarious.
Yeah.
I bought it for like $35, or I sold it for $35 when I bought it originally at full price. Now I bought it for $40, and it goes up and down. Like a new retail copy is $55 for it, but it'll also drop down to $40 on occasion. So I don't know, that's wild. But it's a beautiful game, and it really, really showcases what the PlayStation 3 can do. Also, I beat Indigo Prophecy this week, which was really enjoyable. I think I really like the casual portions of the game, and I've been playing it along with 1UP FM, so I've been listening to what they've been saying every week about how their progress has been. And for me, like, they're always talking about how they always have sex with all the characters in it. Like, you when you're playing as Lucas, one of the characters, they were able to like go break into his girlfriend's house and then somehow, you know, have sex with her there, or when she came and visited, they were supposed to, you know, do it there. And I didn't get any of those things. Maybe I was just like trying to force the story. I mean, it's just indicative of my real life abilities, I guess.
Different versions of the game, I'm pretty sure, like a uncut and a cut. So.
Well, yeah, but I know the people on FM were not. They were. One of them was playing Fahrenheit, the uncut one, and the other ones were playing the English version, the U.S. version. That, and they would still like get all the sex scenes. And I really want no. I really want to watch video games censored sex scenes. No,
you enjoy that. I will not.
This game sounds very awkward. This is the first I've heard of it, and it sounds like one of the cheap novels my mom would use.
One of the things people always say when I talk about Indigo Prophecy, like Matt would just say, it's like playing a movie, and it really is. Like, it's sort of like it puts you in the director's viewpoint, and the camera angles are really reminiscent of. Like actual movie photography. And
so is it like a sim, or is it like a RPG? You play a structured role down a storyline.
You do. It's a very structured RPG type story that you follow. There's a plot that you have to follow very linearly, but you can deviate in that plot in like certain scenes. So like there'll be a scene where you're in one of the main characters, Lucas's apartment, and Lucas just murdered somebody the night before and ran out of the crime scene. Now he wakes up in his apartment, and you get the opportunity to kind of move around the apartment, and he's really stressing out, and he's like, his arms are bleeding, and his sheets are covered in blood, and he's freaking out, and he has a headache. So there's a bunch of things that you can do. Like, you can walk around his room, and you can take the Advil off the counter, and like, or the prescription, the prescription medication to get rid of your headache, and he's like, oh, my head feels better, and then your health... your sanity gauge improves, basically, and the more things you do, like, you can drink milk from the fridge, and it'll improve your sanity, or you can take a shower, dress your wounds, dress yourself. Whenever you use the bathroom, you kind of get a little boost to your sanity as well.
You got really involved with this character, apparently.
Well, yeah, every level's like that. Every scene is like that. There's so many things that you can do to interact with the environment. Like, you sit down and watch TV, it's really funny to like kind of watch yourself die, because if you take the prescription medication, he'll say, Lucas will think out loud, I shouldn't. And it says, he's like, the bottle reads, don't take with alcohol. So I went into the kitchen and grabbed the bottle of alcohol and took a drink from it, and it's automatic game over. And you know, it cuts the game over, and he's like, ah, it was written as a suicide, and it's very funny.
As a pharmacy major, I won't go into the details of the possibility of that, but you can go on.
Well, it's funny, too, because if you drink the alcohol first and you go and you take the medication, then you just die straight out.
Well, that's how it works in science and in the medical field as well, actually.
So I've heard. I thought this game is based in reality, so I figured, you know, there's some...
You just wake up with bleeding arm wounds on occasion.
Well, it gets pretty... It's a movie, nonetheless, so the story gets pretty ridiculous at the end.
It's an understatement, but
yeah,
it's really weird.
I don't know if you want to talk about that, Matt. It's just like,
well, it's been like years since I played that game.
I would like to know what other people did, because like I sent one of the characters, Tyler, off with his girlfriend to Florida. I just kicked him out of the game when you were given the opportunity, and I kept Carlo around with Lucas. So I want to know, like, is it possible to keep Tyler around too, or is it? I want to know the different variations that happened in the story.
I can't even remember. I think, is Tyler like the cop?
Tyler's the cop. He's Carla's partner. The one that always has the funk playing in the background.
Yeah, stereotypical
the
stuff.
Awful stereotyping. <in there>. He challenges a guy to a basketball game to repay him $100.
Yep, and you think you hit like a sequence of buttons, right, or something
which is really fun, the button sequence.
Isn't it like a really nerdy white guy you play against? Or
something? Very, very white guy.
Stereotypical white guy play basketball.
And they both have like custom jerseys that have their names on it. I thought that was really funny.
I can't remember that game. Like, I remember bits and pieces of it and like parts I didn't understand, it made no sense, but last thing I remember with Tyler is, like, you were investigating in the police station, and you were also at your apartment with your girlfriend, and there's a bunch of weird stuff I just can't remember.
Yeah.
I might play it again just to see, like, because I think you can change up a couple things, like, certain people can die, maybe.
Yeah, I also wanted to know, like, I saved Lucas's brother, but Lucas's girlfriend, or old girlfriend, died. I wonder if I had done things differently, if it would have switched, if Lucas's brother would have died instead, because they were both sort of like ancillary characters that didn't really have a real function in the story.
Yeah, I think my brother died. I was like, no, so I reset it and went back and like,
But you didn't like it would have let you keep going, right?
Huh?
It would have let you keep going.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something. You've got their little timer going down. You see, you've got their little. It's like a comic book, and they're like different shots of different things happening. Like a guy was coming after your brother, wasn't there?
He was in the church. When you're in a hotel, he's like, when you're in like sleazy motel, he's in the church, and there's someone knocking on the door, and Tyler like has a or Lucas has a premonition of someone like coming and attacking his brother.
Yeah.
So he calls him and like says, lock the door and get out of there or something.
Yeah.
And then you control the brother and you have to lock the door, and like I almost missed locking the door, so I'd assumed I would have died or something.
Yeah, probably. Okay.
There's also this awesome thing in the end of the there's in one of the bonus materials, it's called the hidden dance floor or the secret dance floor, and it just has all the character models dancing, which is really funny because you've got like the dummy, the training dummy dancing with the nun, or the AI robot thing dancing with Carla, and it's pretty ridiculous. I don't know. To get into that, we could spend an entire show talking about that game alone because it's so ridiculous. But 1UP FM does this really cool thing called the Backlog, where they play through old games. They talk about it, and it's on the board, so you can talk with people. And it's kind of a cool way to motivate yourself to play older games. Like I played Shadow of the Colossus with them, as well as Psychonauts, and now Indigo Prophecy is the latest one they're doing. So it's cool because you can actually, I don't know, it feels like you have sort of a connection to people who are playing the game as well, and you can hear things.
I've always wondered where you got the ideas for all these old games that you're showing me. You're like, hey, look at this. I'm like, all right.
I'm totally unoriginal. I'm just getting them straight from 1UP FM, basically.
That's all right.
Thanks. And then Spore as well, I played a little bit. I downloaded some of Mike's creatures and played around space, but I don't know. It's a little overwhelming, so I didn't. The one major drawback about Spore that I found is I wish I could press like a pause button or something like that, and I could just explore the galaxy and not get attacked and not, you know, have to worry about money. I just want to, you know, explore, and that's not an option in the game.
Maybe you should go back to EVE Online.
EVE
Online. You can traverse endless amounts of space in your spaceship until you hit an asteroid.
That's right. I can plot my half an hour course, walk away from the game. Like I can, you know. go out and get dinner while I'm going through all the stupid hyperspace gates. You remember that?
Yeah. I think it's definitely something that... I think it's something you play while playing another game.
I think...
Is what I...
Well, you remember how you get skills up? You turn the game off.
Yes, it's great.
You would set skills to improve, and then you would turn the game off. When you logged out, you were like, your skills would improve.
So it's like resting?
It rewards you for not playing.
Basically.
I had a 2-week trial, and I played that game while playing other games. I would go, and I would play Team Fortnite, and every about 15, 20 minutes, I'd check on my Eve and take my mining ship back and sell my mine and then send it back out.
Mm-hmm.
It's very profitable, 2 weeks and Eve, but I was never there in front of the computer playing it.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's cool. I mean, it's really fun. I got this really overpowered ship that was sweet, and then I got in over my head and got destroyed and lost my ship and didn't have any insurance or something like that. I don't even know.
No
insurance. I didn't have any insurance, and then I had no money and no ships. So I was kind of... And to take like the loner ship out.
Oh, you didn't take the time to level up your quantum physics skill?
Yeah, my shield. I don't even know what some of the skills names were.
Well, there's about 1,000 skills. So
yeah.
I didn't have my eyeglass repair skill up, so I could not fix my eyeglasses, and I would not see where I was flying in space. Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, the only way you could get sweeter ships is if you had these certain skills that would improve, and the only way you could improve skills is if you didn't play. So. There's that very strange reward for not playing, but I don't know. We should not.
It's kind of a weird idea.
Yeah. Just finishing this stuff up, I put in the orange box and I played Half-Life 2. I've been playing through that. I basically got to the point that I was before I deleted my old save data. It's cool, but I'm not one of the rabid Half-Life fanboys. And it's really cool, though.
How dare you.
I know. It's a blasphemy.
Never even played Half-Life.
And then
What's that? Listen out if you don't play it.
It's cool, it's just, I don't know, I don't really understand. The physics-based puzzles, I mean, it's like, what, put heavy object in basket and pull lever or something? That's pretty much everything so far.
Kinda, yeah.
I played about 10 minutes of Half-Life and threw a pop can at a guard. And when he didn't kill me, I was really disappointed and shut the game off.
I also like in the game how they really, like, they're like, he would never have figured these puzzles out if it wasn't for his MIT education. They always like rack it up to you having this MIT education that you figured out to like put this brick in a basket to lift this door or something. And
yeah.
If there weren't gigantic spray painted arrows pointing at everything for me to do it, like maybe it's cool, but I don't know. Maybe the story gets better or something like that. I just hate all the driving stages. I hate the driving so much.
Driving's horrible. Then you also get in a boat.
I rode this stupid like hovercraft boat thing. I hate
that.
And then the stupid land cheetah. I forget what they're called. What they call it? There's the car.
Oh, the car you drive by the beach and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Which was terrible.
Terrible vehicle controls. Yeah. But.
Yeah. It's everything's really slippery. And then I played a little Team Fortress 2 as well. Team Fortress 2. Yeah. It was good times reminiscing on that.
Remember when we first discovered that
game? I do. That was so much fun.
We had our little sleepover. We brought our PlayStation 3s together. And
that's right. It was
played
like a
side
little,
by side.
Little,
and
you know, two-man land party.
Just kill each other.
Well, in an effort to make it less awkward, Mike was in the other room and I was in the living room. And we also had two TVs in there, so, I mean, we couldn't play side by side.
So we actually just then ended up having to yell at each other.
Yeah.
I'm the medic now! You're heavy!
We did that with, Resistance, Fall of Man.
I remember that, too.
Online with that. That was really
It was like
fun.
The first month we had our PS3s and we were all giddy, and then...
Well, it was also, we were here in Des Moines in the middle of January when nobody was around. So we're like, you know, whatever. Like, the only people in Des Moines, so...
Yeah. Pretty much.
What else should we do?
It was still fun, but
it was really
excited
fun.
For the new PS3 releases coming up.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. I guess that wraps it up for what you've been playing. Anybody else have anything you want to say briefly? Any afterthoughts?
Play WoW, it's awesome.
Shut up.
Play Warhammer.
Yeah, play Warhammer.
Actually, try
Warhammer.
I got into an argument with a guy on WoW about Warhammer, actually.
That's weird, really?
Probably like a 10-year-old or something.
Yeah, no, somebody just posted like, Warhammer greater than WoW, and I was like, Warhammer's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's like, but you're playing Warhammer, so shut the fuck up. I'm like, oh, sorry, I don't know a policy about swearing, my bad.
I guess we just kind of keep it low-key. Right?
Yeah,
I've been trying to control myself.
Yeah, my bad, I'm sorry, internets.
apologize to all our young.
Yes, I don't want to corrupt the youth.
And their parents,
yeah.
Who I'm sure listen to this as well.
Probably.
And we'd like to apologize on behalf of Drake, you know.
Yeah, for associating ourselves without their blessing at all.
Whatever.
Yeah, but I checked out the trial with Griff, and I didn't really play Warhammer. I played Warhammer 40K, but I liked it a lot. It was pretty gritty. It kept to the history in the background pretty well, and I was a fan.
Yeah, we were playing that last week with the open servers. It was really cool. There's so many. I wrote about this on the blog, so you can read it there into the specifics. But there's so many things that it does well that I hope other MMOs incorporate, and I'm sure WoW will, and I'm sure WoW will get the credit for it, which is a shame, because Warhammer does a lot of things much better than WoW.
Yeah, but again, it's always subjective, but...
That's true. I love being worthless in a battleground.
I'm worthless everywhere, so I'm used to it.
I won't even get started. This will be a topic, I'm sure, of another podcast.
Yeah. You just
Warhammer versus MMORPG supremacy.
We'll see in a month how Warhammer's doing, and then we'll decide whether or not it's worth discussing.
Think about Warhammer.
Oh, right, that's true. Because the true gauge of something is how everybody feels about it.
Yeah.
No. Right.
Which is
Warhammer's been around for over 20 years, and WoW's been around for...
Warhammer's been around for... Is it 20 years?
20 or 25, I forget.
It's old.
They had the anniversary not that long ago,
that's
actually.
That's true, yeah. It's much older than the World of Warcraft universe,
mm-hmm.
if you want to...
So there are some very rabid and very dedicated fans to that franchise, and this is a big step for people who really want to get involved.
Apparently this
kind of
was
universe.
Like 3 years in the making,
yeah,
too.
It was a really big deal. I followed it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Back when it was first coming out, I had some of the original trailers podcasts, I guess, probably.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would watch some of those from the developers, and they were the guys who have been with the game and work very closely with...
The old White Dwarf crew.
Games
Workshop crew.
Yeah, those guys, they want to make sure that their property is protected, and they want to make sure it's true to the story that they've built up and to the fans. And
uh-huh.
They really did it justice. I think everything is really massive, and the characters are...
It definitely
dark
has
and
that
gritty and, yeah.
Warhammer
it's
feel.
It's really brutal
the
to
fact
see some
that
of the
you can kill
here.
Yourself with some of your spells. It's very Warhammer.
Yeah. Magic is extremely dangerous.
Yeah, the dialogue is really... there's some quirky things that characters that the NPCs will say, but it doesn't quite have the comedy of World of Warcraft.
Yeah, definitely not for the younger target audience of World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
You know, people who are dedicated and...
I think it's a good middle ground between Age of Conan and World of Warcraft. You know, you've got like...
Yeah,
exposed breasts of Age of Conan and like women in chains and whatnot. I don't really know. I haven't played it, but this is what I hear.
That's the first I've heard it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna look for some screenshots
and,
later.
Yeah, and WoW is very very cartoony and whimsical.
Mm-hmm. You definitely get the sense that
you're biting your tongue, aren't you?
Yeah.
I am biting my tongue.
There's gonna be when
you
get
like,
asses
well,
kicked.
Well, you
by
have also not
later.
Even touched Warhammer. So
I will admit to that. It's something I do want to. I do want to see, but I think it's also for me. I've made so much progress in WoW that I can't throw it out the window. I enjoy trolling through the areas on my mounts and flying around. So, starting a new game, especially a MMO,
you're
is
that
difficult
guy.
For
it's
me.
Like, let me get my ult. Let me get my 70.
I do remember. I've run you through many a dungeon you've been playing.
Well, I was referring more to the like when people get ganked and they're like, oh, let me go grab my 70. I can't just keep playing.
I've never been a big advocate of that. I usually don't. When it comes to MMOs, I don't get mad at.
That's not
you
true.
You get even.
Well,
you told me yes. This was a direct
that
quote
is
from
an
Keys.
Absolute lie.
From Keys
I've
earlier
watched you mashing
yesterday.
That keyboard in a fury of anger.
He now has a policy. Now that he's 70,
for the
he
most
has a policy
part.
Of attacking Horde on sight.
That's not anger though. That is just fair fighting.
That sounds like revenge to me.
Yeah,
that sounds
like a traumatic upbringing.
Yeah. I mean, I'll admit, I can see how PvP servers are very. Very frustrating, and I am already contemplating my epic amounts of revenge that I will take out on lobbies as soon as I grind my ass through these stages.
Phil, I know you've had plenty of experience.
Oh,
with this.
Yes. I got to the crater, and I got killed, and then I kept respawning and like taunting this guy with fear, and he kept killing me, and I was just like, I don't really care, I'm honorless, just keep killing me. And I feared him for about 30 minutes, and then he ran away, and I was like, I win this one, and I can't wait to be 70 until I can just kill those lobies. We'll go out and stake outside their towns and just murder them.
I think once you've been on both sides of being the ganker and the ganky, you eventually do gain a knowledge. And like now when I'm leveling my ults and things like that and someone ganks me, you know, I'm like, all right, you got me. It's when they camp.
Oh, yeah. When they camp.
That's very
corpse.
Frustrating.
Yep.
Of course, my ult is a rogue, so I really don't have that much problems because I can usually get revenge because rogues are cheap. It's the truth.
Everyone loves getting backstabbed.
Hey, we'll
and
call it an end to the what you've been playing.
This
slash
has been a
talk about
a
war. Wow.
And we're back. Yeah.
Good intro.
Thank you. So for the news, I was fairly unprepared this week because I didn't have a chance to get to a printer and print things out for everybody. So I'm just going to be reading stuff that I wrote down briefly this morning.
Why didn't you get a chance to prepare us for this trip?
Because I was sleeping this morning.
Okay.
When you said that, I was tired.
Griff had a big night.
Anyway, something kind of interesting is the PlayStation 3 is going to get the 40 gig. The one that's the old version is getting marked down by $40, so it's going to be $360 now. I'm sure that's going to entice a lot of people to play. Basically, that's three-quarters of a game off, right? Or two-thirds of a game off.
Yeah.
So that's, mm-hmm. I mean, that's interesting. It's sort of what they did with the 60 and how they dropped the 60 price down when they came out with the 80. So I think it's just an effort to get rid of the 40s.
Price drop right before Little Big Planet and Fallout 3.
Yeah,
some of the
yeah.
bigger titles coming
that's,
out.
That's
for,
a
yeah.
good point.
For it, probably,
interesting
yeah.
how they dropped the price to $360. I mean,
yeah.
mocking Microsoft.
I wonder yeah, what they were thinking. It's a 10% markdown. I don't know. That's kind of
just the way the numbers crunched.
Yeah, I guess. Something else this week. It was more of the last week, actually. Sean Elliott and Jeff Green, two members of Ziff Davis Productions, they are on 1UP. Both work for GFW, but the magazine doesn't exist anymore, so they just did GFW Radio and did some work online. They have moved on to work for game publishing companies. Jeff Green is working for EA, and he'll be working with Maxis and The Sims stuff. And Sean Elliott is going to 2K Boston, the people that did BioShock, and is not able to tell what project he's working on. And it's a real shame, because they're both fantastic journalists, and Jeff Green is... He has a very distinct personality that's going to be missed immensely. And Sean Elliott is one of the most insightful people I've ever heard talk about video games before. He can bounce from making stupid, crude humor to saying some of the most interesting things I've ever heard about Metal Gear before, or really any game. He has an incredible mastery of looking past the surface of gameplay and looking at games as a cohesive experience, and not so much picking them apart. So they will be missed. Also, this, I think Thursday, there was new... the Bungie countdown expired, and to all the fanboys' happiness, Halo 3 content trailer was shown. I haven't watched it.
Oh, you haven't?
Yeah. No.
It wasn't anything really that special. It was just like, shows a city, then it shows a bunch of pods coming from the sky, and they're kind of smashing down into the ground. And they're, if you don't know what those are, that's like ODST troops. They're kind of just troops who, they're like, they're not Halo Spartans, but they're just like regular troops who drop down in pods.
Uh-huh.
They're kind of like special forces or something. Mm. And they,
not
I think they start
that special, though.
Yeah.
They fall from space, Griff.
They don't
yeah.
have Spartan costumes.
They have different armor. I don't know.
Yeah, they have like this black armor.
Base plates.
They
look more intimidating, like shock troop kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then like I think they maybe hit some of the buildings, and then it kind of just cuts out, and then it shows like a street, and then it cuts out again. It shows like the Halo 3, and then it just cuts away.
So in the Halo universe, are there people who aren't in the military?
There's civilians.
Do you ever see them?
You don't see them really, though.
Is it just assumed?
Yeah, it's like, do people supposedly live in these buildings that are falling to the ground?
I thought it was all military. It's just the impression.
It's not quite Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
Not quite like that.
Yeah, no full on
Team Soak
conscriptions.
You have nothing to say about that, Mike.
I've left Halo forever.
Yeah.
I've
also been ruined.
I go on my addictions of games, and before WoW was Halo 2, so.
Which you were very pro at, right?
I was okay.
Yeah.
I was alright.
Halo
being
2
modest,
ruined everything
right?
for me.
Huh?
You're being modest.
Yeah, it was fun when, you know, first came to college and got to play kids in Halo 2.
You were, like, nationally ranked or something, right?
Yeah, so it was kind of funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, that's...
It's in the past now.
It's in the past.
That's
in
another
the past.
Life.
We can talk about it.
We'll move on. Every week we'll try and do what's been updated on the consoles. I haven't checked the 360, but the PlayStation Store has had some fantastic content come out. Wipeout HD is $20. It's a fantastic, we were talking about it earlier, it's a fantastic racing game. You can download that. Mega Man 9 is $10.
$10 of frustration.
Yeah, yeah.
Or nostalgia.
That's true. There's also a demo if you want to, you know, get a feel for what you're getting into.
Or you could jump right in.
Yeah.
Just prepare to be angry for about 20 minutes.
Right. It's like, you know, you can either like lick the socket or like stick a fork in the socket. I don't know.
Splitting hairs, really.
Okay. Either way, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's also going to be out for all the other systems. So Wii and 360, you'll be able to get Mega Man 4. I don't know. It's $10 across the board. I don't know what that translates into space bucks and Wii points or whatever.
Wii has a point system?
Yeah,
I was not aware of this.
The exchange rate's even more awkward than 360.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Microsoft points?
Microsoft points, space bucks, whatever you want to call them.
Spore bucks?
Nonsense money. Yeah, spore bucks.
Microsoft ripoff money.
Yeah. Pay for your custom avatar nonsense. There's been some Buzz, which is sort of like a trivia game, updates, which actually look really cool. There's like a sci-fi TV show pack that you can get, and then there's a video game pack, which seems like it's been way too long that a trivia game would have
on a console would have
a video game pack for, I don't know.
I've never heard about this.
Well, I would like to play that. Trivia game about video games.
We should have a showdown.
Yeah, that'd be
all
interesting.
The five of us, though, should be.
Unfortunately, somebody's gonna have to buy it, though. They're gonna have to buy Buzz, and they're gonna have to buy the $5 pack.
What's Buzz? I already missed what Buzz was even on.
Buzz, I don't know if it's exclusive to 360 or to PS3. I assume it is. But basically, it's like, you know, You Don't Know Jack game.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a trivia.
I like You Don't Know Jack, so
yeah.
That'd be something I'd be interested in, probably.
Yeah.
As long as there's competition involved, I'm there.
It's true.
Where'd you go? Arena battle.
There's a bunch more other things on there. I recall there may be another demo for something. So new themes. Oh, that's right. Burnout Paradise is available for $30, I think. That's another racing game. Yeah. I'm sure there's other things, but I didn't write them all down.
This is professional journalism.
Yes.
Everybody.
The news this week is going to be very flaccid and wanting, because...
Flaccid and wanting, huh?
I didn't put a lot of effort into this.
Good descriptors, though. That
Thank
made
you.
Up for it.
Yeah. All right. And then the last thing I just wrote down, that Best Buy will be getting a Gears of War 2 promotional item. If you pre-order your Gears of War 2 there, you'll be able to get a remote-controlled Centaur tank. I don't really know what that is.
I don't remember a tank in Gears of War 2 well, do you, Phil?
I don't remember.
I think it's something
it's
new.
Yeah,
it's
new content for sure.
Is it from 1 or there's no
I think
tank?
It's from 2, maybe,
oh, okay.
The tank, so.
But I'm for anything with chainsaw bayonets, so.
Yeah,
I guess we can kind of segue just briefly. Since that's it for the news, we can just talk about, like, pre-order stuff. We just had to do a sound check because I had the air conditioner running in the background, and I had to make sure that it wasn't disrupting the sound at all.
Sorry about that. That's
okay.
My fault.
No, it's fine. That's it for the news, but then we were just going to briefly talk about if pre-order swag influences your decision to actually buy a game. No?
I'm going to jump right in and say not at all. I'm just from seeing the clips of, just for Fallout 3, for example, I don't care about the Nuka-Cola bottle opener.
Dude, that bottle opener
whatsoever.
Is so cool.
I just want to watch.
It's on my fridge.
Destroy things. See nuclear explosions.
Yeah.
I mean, and a centaur tank, I guess, for Gears of War.
Well, I guess not like is this bit of crap gonna make you buy a game? It's more if it's digital download versus if you buy it at a, would you be more predisposed to buying it at a store that gave you something than if you just bought the straight up game?
Usually those collector's edition kind of things have a pretty substantial price difference, though, don't they?
Well, let's say if you pre-ordered Metal Gear 4, you got, like, a gigantic plastic snake head or something like that.
Oh, like, not at all what they did with Halo,
yeah,
with the
yeah.
Spartan helmet.
What if you got, like, the sweet Octo eye patch thing? I forget what it's called. The eye patch. Like, what if you get, you know, you pre-order it and you get some, a bandana
eye.
Or something. Yeah, the solid eye. Like, something that's actually kind of neat, like the bandana or, like, a soundtrack or something like that.
It really depends on what it is. For me, I bottle opener can get anywhere. I don't care if it's a reference to the game or not, or that the remote control tank is not that interesting to me. And soundtracks, I don't spend much time listening to video game soundtracks unless I'm in your car, Griff.
That's true.
Man,
good one. Touché, Mark.
I don't know. I guess for me, it's more of a process of what game it is. If it's a game I think is going to sell out right away when I want to get it right away, that's really the only time I pre-order.
Does that even happen anymore?
Not really. I haven't had that problem with not being able to get a game that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same.
No availability issues. Once they ship in such massive quantities, especially if it's a big title.
I mean, did that ever happen? I'm just trying to think. Like, was there ever occasions?
I remember when I went to get Vice City. It was actually all sold out in my hometown. I didn't get a copy for, like, 2 weeks after it came out because they all sold out. So it was I was a little sad at the time, but yeah, I haven't had any problems with it.
That's
know,
just
the past
too,
few years.
Vice City is a fantastic game.
Yeah, it was much better than
4.
Yeah. Well,
this is not the place to get into that. I guess is what we're saying. Phil, do you ever pre-order anything like that?
The only pre-orders I can remember were I pre-ordered Grand Theft Auto 4, and I did the Zeldas for 64. I pre-ordered those, and the gold cartridges. I was like, yeah, I gotta have the gold cartridges.
You didn't have to pay anything more, did you?
No, they were actually all you had to do was pre-order.
I did that. I got the gold cartridges.
Yeah,
as well. Yeah.
And when Gears of War the first one came out, I didn't get the collector's edition. I was like, no thanks. I mean, I did end up getting the Halo 3, like the one
medium
fan. The medium one. And I was like, I'm not gonna spend the $100 for the Spartan helmet, you know, it's not really worth it.
I don't know, I shouldn't talk. I guess I did buy the Metal Gear Collector's Edition.
I had my retailer, when I went to pre-order Wrath of the Lich King, try to coerce me into the $70 super pack.
You,
but,
which comes with?
Let's see, bear mount you can ride,
a rideable
polar bear, you get a soundtrack.
Do you get the Asriel? Well, you don't get Asriel with that, right?
No, you don't. No pads, just the mount. You get a soundtrack. There's also, like, I think a behind-the-scenes making of it. There's actually a lot of content in there. I mean,
I
guess you...
How much more was it?
It was, $30 more, so...
Oh, wow. Yeah,
70 versus 40.
Yeah, so it's pretty significant, but I...
that's 2 months
I think I reluctantly declined, so...
Reluctantly, really?
Wow.
I went through it in my head. I kind of wanted it, and... He always said I could upgrade to that if I ever wanted to.
Yeah.
So I was like, we'll just go with the basic right now. We'll see if anything else changes with the collector's edition.
Well, if you think about it, you could probably buy that. You could pre-order 2 and probably sell your polar bear off for double the price.
No, you know what people have had problems with is they pre-order something and then they sell the pre-order is what the guy was telling me. So they're having problems with that with the collector's edition.
Oh,
so.
I see. Huh.
Interesting.
I'm gonna buy the special edition just to rub it in your face.
Get the mounts,
yeah.
The sweet new mounts.
Get the just do the pay-per-view event. $40
oh, yeah.
To watch BlizzCon on pay-per-view, and you get your rideable polar bear mount with a Murloc perched atop its head.
Sweet.
I don't
want to
watch
that.
BlizzCon on TV.
I'm a WoW fan, but I'm not gonna feed the Blizzard.
You are already feeding it.
Well, I'm not gonna feed it any more than I already am.
Yeah.
So,
I think it's gonna be bad enough that now there are achievements in WoW. There's gonna be so much achievement whoring, I'm afraid.
I think we should cut it there. The final segment is going to be just an off-topic discussion. We'll come up with some clever names for these later, I'm sure. And this week, we'll just talk about our first sort of experiences with gaming, with video games, whether that be a console, an arcade, a PC, or what have you. So, go ahead, Mike. Keys.
I had my first game experiences actually at most of my friends' houses. Obviously, when I was young, starting off with Nintendo and Super Nintendo. But I didn't actually have my first game console, I think, until I was 11 or 12. And it was Super Nintendo, and I had that for a year, and I actually didn't even play that much of it. But my first major console was the PlayStation, and I've been kind of loyal to that, the franchise, ever since then. And started off with Final Fantasy VII, Suikoden, all the classic RPGs, and
there was like a massive eruption in like arm raises and high fives and whatnot.
Yeah,
for some reason everybody likes 7.
Yeah, it's crazy. Actually, I enjoyed 8 more, but we'll get into that later. Anyway,
yeah.
But so PlayStation was my big first gaming experience, and as of late, I've moved on to the PC. So, yeah,
PC for a while,
yeah.
Basically,
yeah.
PC is just a WoW machine. You're not really
yes.
playing any other games. For
and for typing up papers.
Yeah, they can do that.
I guess I found that out yesterday when I had to type something up.
Huh.
Wow.
I'm not exactly sure when my first gaming experience was, but I remember gaming when I was like 5 or 6. Remember going to arcades and sometimes playing, you know, Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man, and a lot of the beat-em-ups by Konami or Capcom, just the generic, you know, like, oh, go through beat-up, you know, go to the boss, and there's like 5 stages. But NES...
Like the Simpsons arcade game?
Yeah,
X-Men?
Stuff like that, only in different
Streets
settings.
Streets of Rage.
Yeah, it's just recycled material with just a different setting, basically. But for NES, I remember playing a lot of, you know, Zelda and, you know, of course, Super Mario Brothers. But, I don't know, being that young in Zelda, I kind of had no idea what to do. I'm just, like, walking around, killing things. I'm like, okay, whatever. This is kind of boring. And then for Super Mario Brothers, you know, that was pretty fun and, you know, pretty easy. And I remember always getting to the end and being excited about it and everything. And then, you know, almost throwing a fit because my brother would sometimes...
In Super Mario Bros.?
Yeah.
You got excited about riding that flagpole?
What are you insinuating here?
Or was it the fireworks?
I love the fireworks.
The fireworks.
I do like
you know,
the fireworks. I'm easily entertained when I was 5. But,
I thought that was really cool how you jumped on the bike.
Yeah. But
this is degenerating quickly.
Hey.
Sorry.
But, I don't know. It was pretty good, but it was also frustrating. You know, when you die, you throw a hissy. I would always throw a hissy fit, or my brother to get revenge on me or something would block the screen or just hit the controller and then I'd die and we'd get the fist fight about it.
Oh,
so.
Man, that's like old school grief. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was pretty frustrating, but you know, it kept me busy and... I don't know. It was good times.
I actually had my first experience with console games with the Nintendo, the original Nintendo, from watching my daycare person's husband play the original Legend of Zelda, and I would sneak downstairs and watch him play and help watch him solve the puzzles, and he would ask me what weapons or something he should use to fight a boss, and I got really hooked on it just from that kind of simple interaction, and I've been with it ever since. I got my first console was the Super Nintendo, and I played the beat 'em ups, and I moved on through to PlayStation and got Resident Evil and Tomb Raider and all of those. I still love those games, and I've stuck with Sony pretty much. I don't have it, and I got PS3 and I'm sticking to that, and that's where I'm at right now,
dabbling in the computer as well.
Yeah, I'm really not much of a PC gamer. Before Spore and WoW, the last game I bought was Diablo 2. So I'm a little out of the loop with that.
My first experiences with gaming was I used to go over to my friend's, and he had a Nintendo, and I'd watch him play. And then I begged my parents enough to finally get me a console for my 8th birthday, and they got me the Super NES, and playing Super Mario, and the other games. God, I can't even think of some of the Zelda, and just all
Duck
those.
Hunt? Tetris?
That's Star Nintendo.
Fox. Oh, do you say Super Nintendo?
Super Nintendo, and
yeah. F-Zero.
Oh yeah,
F-Zero. Yeah, a little
I
bit.
Play Super Metroid.
Super Metroid.
Oh yeah, Super Metroid
yeah,
was good.
That
was really good.
Super
and
Mario
then,
RPG.
Oh, Mario RPG. I forgot about that.
That
was a really good one. And then I moved on to the 64 with the GoldenEye, Perfect Dark.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Good
times.
Golden Age.
That's true.
There's nothing better than the GoldenEye and the Perfect Dark. And then I ended up getting the GameCube. I kind of. Not too happy with the titles they came out with.
Really?
You
didn't like Animal Crossing?
I played the Animal Crossings, the early Bond games, until EA just started whoring out the series.
Smash Bros?
Smash Brothers was good, but there were only like a couple that I really liked. And then I just bought the Xbox to get Halo 2. And then
Did you skip Halo?
I didn't play it. My cousin had Halo, so I went over there and played a lot. And then I sat outside a Best Buy on the 360 launch day and froze my butt off just to get a 360. And
Have it work on you?
I'm on my fourth 360. I've had two white ones and two elites now.
The amazing thing is that's true, yet people still continue to buy Microsoft products.
It's true. It's very true. And
my PlayStation doesn't even freeze.
No, no matter how much she abuses you, you just keep going back to it.
Microsoft just keeps beating us down and down, and we just keep taking it. And then I played computer a lot too with the Age of Empires 1, 2,
oh, yeah.
3, the Supreme Commander, and his earlier one, Total Annihilation, which was really good by. His first name's Chris, I can't remember his last name. Diablo 2, now WoW with everybody else because Keys got me hooked. Thank you, Keys. And then I played a little Sins of the Solar Empire this summer with Mike over here, and that was really good. And that's pretty much my gaming history here.
So we got a full walkthrough here.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, if you just want to follow up and
yeah.
talk more about that stuff, I'll go quickly. My first experience was probably watching people play at a daycare when they played on an NES. I would watch the father like play Tetris on it, and I thought that was really cool because like seeing adults play video games was always really neat.
Yeah.
And then what's up, man?
I was telling you to get closer.
Oh. Okay. So I remember doing that, and I played a lot of Mega Man there, the original Mega Man's on the NES, but you know. It was awkward and traumatic, but I still played them and we rented some stuff. Like, I remember playing like Camp Snoopy's Olympic events or something like that.
Oh my
and
god!
I have distinct memories of like having this like it was like throw the boot was one of the events, and you had to rotate the D-pad. And being like a 5-year-old little boy, I had no motor skills. So like that motion of rotating my thumb over the D-pad was not only jarringly painful but so awkward that I. We never got the gold, to say the least.
Speaking of awkward games, did anyone ever play the Bible Adventures game for regular Nintendo?
No.
I never played
it.
I
saw the review for it.
Yeah, a lot
Best
of us have watched the review.
Game ever.
Did you actually play it?
Yeah, you had different scenarios, and I was really young, and I was watching my friends play it.
Mm-hmm.
Good Catholic raising, gotta have Bible adventures.
Oh, God.
But I just remember the one where it's you're Noah, and you gotta go collect all the animals and get them on the ship, and... Cougars would eat you. It was great. You
there
had
was
to,
death in that?
Yeah, you actually had to feed the cougars meat to tame them, and then you could pick them up, and you could haul several animals on top
so
of
you
your
could,
head.
You could stack them, yeah.
Yes, you could stack
wow.
an
Wasn't
elephant.
Wasn't there, like, monkeys or squirrels or something? That
yeah,
just
oh, the monkeys were, they were crazy. They would jump through the trees. Crazy monkeys.
Where did they get these ideas?
I don't know. But that's the best game ever. Sorry.
No, that's fine. That's, segues are good. So yeah, the NES is what I probably saw first, but then I owned a Game Gear. That was the first thing that I purchased. I know, crazy, right?
Wow,
yeah. Owned a Game Gear, and I remember playing Sonic on it, and it looked cool. It looked so cool. And then I traded that in for a Genesis, an actual Genesis system. And then having played Echo the Dolphin, and been absolutely boggled at what I was supposed to do in that game. I
would
like shoot like Sonic Dolphin Thoughts and then couldn't get out of the opening area and quit that game and quit that system and hated Genesis for a long time afterwards. And then I bought a Super Nintendo from there, and you know, it's been Mega Man X, and that really got me into the Final Fantasy games and RPGs, and just been building on that ever since. Anybody else want to say anything? Follow-ups, like, has it influenced you at all? Like, I know, Mike, you had said you started playing, like, Final Fantasies and stuff like that. Like,
oh, yeah, like, from the...
Or you watched... Okay, one thing I kind of want to know is I remember being in a daycare and watching a lot of people play, like, Final Fantasy 2 and 3, and then going back recently and playing it again, and just knowing to do certain things. Or
yeah, from watching you kind of... When you're young and you're watching somebody play, you have no, like Matt said, when his experience, he had no idea what he was doing, and you walk around and just kill stuff.
Mm-hmm.
From watching other people, I really learned how to make the objects interact in the virtual environment, I guess, I got into RPGs because you had more control over what you were doing, you could a little more customization, and you could develop characters. You hated the characters, you liked the characters.
Control, really? I think it was more linear.
Well, obviously the story is more linear, but you can wander off, like in a Final Fantasy and side quests and things like that. I like those a lot.
Yeah, the exploration was rewarded, which is kind of cool. I remember Legend Link to the Past, playing Link to the Past, and we'd all like take turns at the daycare playing it, and I remember not being able to beat bosses, and it would always be like, I'd always ask like the older boys to like beat it for me.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't beat this. I don't know what to do. I can't hit, like, the 14th crystal or something.
Maybe you and Mike went to the same daycare playing Link to the Past together.
I don't think so.
No, I was,
probably would have remembered this.
I would remember being in Minnesota.
You would actually have had to have been in North Dakota at the time.
Well, that
would have
been a little closer, at least.
Yeah. But, like, seeing those games played and then playing them was a really... I mean, it's kind of an odd teaching experience, sort of. Like, you don't... I don't know. Obviously, kids are going to sort of mimic what they see done, but I don't know, it kind of nurtures this really strange mentality of, I don't know if we want to really get into this right now, but like,
we're going far.
Well, I think it's kind of something interesting to talk about is how video games promote this ability to have a mutual experience and discuss it. Like, whereas if we think about this like evolutionarily and in terms of history, like, you know, you would like have this fantastic campfire story of like the woolly mammoth that tried to kill you. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm just ad-libbing this. I don't really know. But you'd have hunting stories. You would have things that would happen, and people could relate to that. And now that's kind of a lost thing. Like what we can talk about are several. I recall several instances in talking to an old girlfriend about what I did during the day. Just like the stupid stuff I would do, like walking. Yes, today I slept for 14 hours, and then I made food, and then, like, it's really boring, but then when you can tell people about, like, a story that you interacted with, it's really a mutual experience that people can have and discuss together.
Yeah. I think that's something that's really missed in the community of people that don't play video games is, especially when you play with this huge revolution of online games, is a lot of people don't understand, like, the camaraderie and things like that can develop with, you know, people that you play with, or even, you know, when you get your, you know, the friends that you know in real life involved, and, like, the things that, you know, essentially, it's like, you know, a life inside a life, is you have, you know, your life outside video games, your life with video games, so it's kind of interesting to see, like, how that interacts between people, like, which life they live, because they're usually completely different people outside the world than they are when they play. So
sometimes, yeah, yeah. I don't know. You're clearly not a druid, but I mean, certain personalities will play certain games differently. I mean, certain people will prefer to explore and do things, or you know, heal or whatnot, like just be more of a passive role, or other people want to like smash.
Yeah, like I've noticed playing with.
Or some people are extremely competitive when they play online games. And
always in a hurry, no patience.
Yeah.
Mr. Keys, I'd play him. Because he knows everything that I don't, because he plays so much, and working with him in WoW particularly, things go a lot faster. than what I'm used to playing by myself or with Phil, because we're really inexperienced,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden, oh hey, Keys is online, and then
let's go,
we've
guys,
done,
come on, we gotta move forward.
We've done 7 things in an hour.
Gotta get those horde.
Fast paced.
Very
competitive.
Efficient.
Let's do this.
Is what you can chalk it up to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta level.
I guess, yeah, you gotta grind it, but
horde.
I guess that comes with my style, as I played, like, I can't even think of what I was gonna say right now, Chaos Theory, those Tom Clancy games.
Oh,
the,
boy.
Splinter
yeah.
Cell, there it is.
Oh, gosh.
Where I can sit and play Splinter Cell for hours.
Yeah.
Because I can just sit, you know, you have to go slowly, you have to be careful, or else you alert the guards or anything like that, playing Metal Gear at an incredibly high difficulty, because, and just sneaking and taking hours to play this game.
Yeah, the patience that a lot of the games force you to develop.
It's just, that's where I like video games. You have so many different personalities. Because people play, watching Phil try to play Splinter Cell with me as an FPS guy.
Oh, the Rainbow Six Nights.
Oh,
God.
Yeah.
Rainbow Six Vegas 2, I'd be so like, let's go forward. Max, like, hold out, we gotta wait, we gotta get this patrol's coming. And I'm like, fuck that, let's go.
It was, yeah. And then Phil was off in my bullet shield and decoy, where he bursts into a room and I take the nice, precise, quiet
this
angle.
This translates to, like, how he plays WoW, too, because, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
he's a
group
nuker,
of monsters.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, Phil, the aggro monster, will just, like, dive into a bunch of enemies and either end up running out of it or dying or dragging them all to the other player.
Yes.
Or surviving, which does happen from time to time, too.
I know. It's rare. I do survive sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, he's not. Yeah.
Had a good few wipes with Phil, the aggro monster.
So that's interesting how.
Definitely interesting.
Gaming will influence how you play other things.
Yeah. We got a pretty good mix of different personalities in gaming here too, I think.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
I'm like a gaming vagabond, wanderer. I'm shedding the few allegiances that I have as we speak, as I purchased a 360, and you know, I still will always support PlayStation and Metal Gear and franchises like from Konami and you know, Final Fantasy and stuff like that, but I'm trying to get rid of my bias and, you know, and play a diversity of games even more so. Like, much like Phil, I've owned many systems, traded many systems in multiple times to play different games, and I just like to experience a diversity of things. I don't like to be bound to just a single genre or a single title or anything like that. Well, that influences how I play. I like to do what everything a game has to offer.
Yeah, playing with Grip is fun because he takes a lot of pleasure from messing with people whenever possible.
The shaman, that was a beautiful day.
Oh, the wolf dancing circle.
I
man.
Yeah.
Yeah, just. No, it's very strange times.
Mm. Mike is very good. Keys is an extremely good player. Like, I'll be struggling to, like, play Bionic Commando or something, and Mike just picks it up and will be doing as well as I'm doing immediately. Or, like, playing Wipeout today, like, I'm bumping into walls and shit. I'm like, I really like this. I'm getting a hang of it. And then Mike picks it up and gets, like, outranks me and outplaces me, beats all my lap times, and I'm like, that's cool.
Yes. You find your niche and you stick with it.
Some people are just naturally good at video games.
Your hyper competitive niche.
I've met people who can just pick up any game and they can just play really well. And I can't get anywhere near their degree of skill, and I'm okay with that. Like, I don't mind not being good at games.
That is the exact opposite of me,
mm-hmm.
pretty much.
Yeah.
Griff is much more relaxed, and you know, usually even when we're playing games, especially against each other, like Bionic Commando earlier, I like to revel in the fact that I beat him, but he just laughs and cuts down on my enjoyment. But nonetheless, I beat him. It's what matters to me.
Yeah, I can play a game and get my ass handed to me over and over again and just enjoy the fact that I'm playing it.
Let me.
Yeah.
I rage occasionally.
There are many broken controllers in your house.
Yes. Well, those first PlayStation 3 controllers were quite whimsy.
They were not battle tested. They didn't survive the fury.
No, they did not get the.
I was always used to having. You know, them connected to a string, and now when I throw them, they go and hit objects.
Maybe you need to incorporate a little lanyard into all your game
controls. Get the Wii wristband.
And it's also like punishment. The Wii remote has struck me several times on the swing back.
It bites back.
Yes.
Negative reinforcement, we call that in the business.
Oh, right. Mario Kart on the Wii, most frustrating game in the world.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's some pretty frustrating games.
Oh, I have heard, literally heard the frustration of a guy who I used to live down the hall from. He would play the Wii version of Mario Kart, and I could hear him at 2:30 in the morning screaming because he was getting destroyed by some cheap blue shell or something because those power-ups are broken. But it just, it was unreal.
Yeah.
Unnatural frustration caused by a video game.
Do you think you have a distinct gaming style, Matt?
Well, for certain genres, yeah, like...
Completionist, one...
Sometimes
achievement
for whore. Final some of the
admittedly I'm getting this trophy whoring urge, but I never have the patience.
No, because it's like Drake's Fortune, I already beat it and I'm not going to get it again to get the trophies. Some of the achievements, you know, I'm just like, that's just going to take way too long, I'm just bored with it already.
Don't you
want to
level your gamer score up?
No, it's not going to help me with anything too much, but sometimes I can just be like a kind of a basher. Like if we're playing like, let's say Diablo 2, I'll automatically be the barbarian because I don't want to micromanage spells and like you know, look at my monitor or something like that. But
what do you don't want to look at your monitor?
Well, I just don't want to like look at it like, oh crap, oh no, oh. I gotta get more of these potions and fix my health and, you know, cast these different spells and everyone to make sure they got buffed up.
Feel you only play by audio.
It's like, I don't know, but I can usually just play anything and I could usually play it a different way if I have to and if I'm still enjoying it. Like Elder Scrolls, I could, if I played it again, which I won't, but if I did, I'd play it like as like a wizard or something like that.
That's a punishment.
That'd be a big dare. Like, you gotta beat Oblivion again. Like,
wow, yeah. Yeah, whatever happened to that? We should probably try and do that again where we
The daring somebody to complete a game.
That's right.
I got a couple for you.
Oh, really?
I got some really, well, probably too old, but
missed
Final Fantasy X.
Oh God!
I'll play that.
Dirge
I never
of Cerberus.
Beat it.
You're a chump.
I'm a fanboy. I was a little fanboy when I bought that game, and I will.
A little fanboy. That was like 2 years ago.
I know.
What the hell?
I just went nuts. I was like, "Oh, Dirge of Cerberus. This is going to be new and awesome." And then I actually played through the completion of that game.
But it's Final Fantasy fanboy. It's not.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Not,
so did you play the bouncer?
I did not play the bouncer. No.
I played part of it. My friend had it, so but it was like, okay, another beat 'em up, whatever.
I just like the character selection. They'd say the names, like Kai Lifo, and they would just say the voice of choosing the names. I thought was really funny.
Can't remember that too well.
And Phil, you're an FPS, guns blazing.
Oh. Yeah, definitely matches my style. I just
how's that translate into Rock Band?
Not so well. I strum a little too much, or.
Strong
imitation way too fast.
Is there
much.
A pick you can use for that?
I feel like that would reduce
the
efficiency pretty severely.
I wish there were multiple like paddles that I could play like a real guitar. Like if there were five, like okay, in real life guitars have five strings on
them.
I'm
aware of this.
Or
like
six strings,
excuse
me. So if I wish like, you know, there were six little
buttons.
Yeah. Things. Buttons, if you want to call it that.
That's what they are.
To play, to tokar, to whatever, like to, you know.
Manipulate.
Yeah, I wish it had that. It would just be kind of more realistic, I guess.
So you look for more realism in your games?
Well, I mean, when I was playing Rock Band, I didn't really like it because, first of all, the guitar is like much smaller than a real guitar, so I felt awkward doing that. And then not having to care about where your fingers go and you just press the buttons was really wild, too. And then the whole, like, just flip this, like, paddle to strum just blew my mind. Because you had, oh, God, it was so weird. Like, it's so small, and I wanted to strum the entire, all the strings, not just the one little paddle. I guess it's easier, but it threw me off as someone who's played guitar before.
Ah, see, I don't have that experience,
so. The lack of experience translated into, yeah, this is cool. I don't, you know.
I can be somebody in Rock Band.
I can be a rock star.
Yeah.
It just makes me depressed seeing that I had music ability but wasted it when I was younger. So,
yeah.
Like, because I could play the drums, the xylophone, and the piano, but then, of course, being the typical.
How about
like,
the Glockenspiel?
Yeah, of course. But, you know, being eight, like, oh, I don't want to do this stuff because my parents are making you, and are like, I wanted to go off and play sports, play with my friends, so,
yeah.
You know. But there's another time for that, so.
Okay. Well, I guess we can call it.
Call it a cast.
Yeah.
Do it.
All right. Well, Next week it is, hopefully in the studios if everything goes well.
So we won't be in our man circle.
We will be in circles. This very awkward, very intimate circle in my apartment. And things should sound better too in terms of audio because we'll have microphones.
Professional
sweet.
Journalism.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. Well,
printed news sheets and
yeah,
I'll stay
hopefully.
On top.
And again, if anybody who is listening to this, if there is anybody listening to this, and any of those people are slightly creative and can come up with a name for our podcast or even our segments or anything like that, it would be much appreciated. Like I said, you can have one of the Soul Calibur 4 t-shirts that I have.
Wow.
So,
gifts?
No, if that's an incentive for anybody, it's a pretty rad t-shirt. I mean, it's got some guys on the back. I think they only come in large or extra large, but they kind of wash up and shrink a bit. They're fine. Yeah. So that's it.